Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be here with you and to have such a great show ahead of us. It's the Feast of St. Benedict, and so we've got a special first hour for you on this Feast of St. Benedict the Abbot. Second hour, Carlo will be here. Are we doing open forum with Carlo? Just open forum, second hour. First hour, our good friend Simone Riscala is here, and we're going to talk about why you need community. And it's a perfect day to do that on this Feast of St. Benedict. Simone is the Director of Development, for Program Growth at Endow Groups, where she mentors women in cultivating their unique feminine Jesus and a genius and personal vocations. Hi, Simone. I'm so glad I'm through that.
Sigh.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, reading's not my number one thing. It was never my number one subject, reading. Recess was my number one subject.
Well, you're so good at everything else, Cy.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. So, St. Benedict, first of all, thanks, Simone, for being here with us. But St. Benedict, one of the most important saints in the unfolding history of the church over the last 2,000 years. Can you tell us a little bit about who he is, why you have a devotion to him, and why he matters still?
Yeah, St. Benedict, feast day today, as you mentioned, and you're right, he is kind of one of the most important saints, which is a funny thing. It's a funny phrase because all of us are important in the body of Christ, but St. Benedict is the father of Western monasticism, and that is why he is a co-patron, one of the co-patrons of Europe. So no monasticism.
No Europe.
No Western civilization. So he's kind of important.
You can call and talk about why you need community on this Feast of St. Benedict, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I'm very impressed that you said he's the father of Western monasticism and did not add why Eastern monasticism is better. Because we all know your prejudice as an Armenian, Egyptian.
I know. I'm always plugging the East every time, getting a bad rep at Catholic Answers.
It's a good rep, actually, because I do think we, we're Latin Rite Catholics. We're Western Catholics. And, we've got the phrase from Pope John Paul II about breathing with both lungs. And the East is very, very important. But you're absolutely right that without Benedict, and I'm so glad you pointed out that he's a patron of Europe. I had forgotten that. Without Benedict and the monasticism that followed him, we don't have anything like the world we have today. It's probably, as far as like mass movements go, the most transformative mass movement in the history of the world.
Oh, absolutely. And Benedictine communities in particular, I mean, the Benedictine rule, that is St. Benedict's great contribution to monasticism. The reason he's the father of Western monasticism is because of the rule that he wrote, the rule of St. Benedict, which became the rule, the fundamental way of communal living and monastic living and religious orders living, even today in loosely based religious associations and orders. At some point they have their foundation in this rule of St. Benedict. So that's his great, great contribution in terms of how does one live well in Christian community. And I think many of us are familiar with that phrase, ora et labora, prayer and work is like a foundational spiritual motto and rule. And I was telling my coworkers this morning that One time, I'm always telling my mom, my Egyptian mom stories. And one day she came in and interrupted my prayer time. I said, "Mom, I'm praying." And she goes, "Less aura, more labora."
That's a mom.
That's a mom. And hands me a broom.
888-318-7884 is the number. But you've written about, and so that's why we wanted to talk with you about this idea that spirituality and spiritual growth is not an individualist sport. It's not tennis. It's more like basketball or football. You need a community if you're going to grow spiritually.
You do. You do. I think the great contribution of Benedict in terms of the rule and his foundational thinking is that the spiritual is always tied to the practical, the ora et labora. you actually aren't truly spiritually deep without also the human element, the practical element, right? My mom is right. Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to pray, but then you also have to work. And those two are tied together because we're body soul composites. But then in addition to that, spirituality can also become not just an abstraction because it's divorced from this real life, you know, from the practical, but it can become an abstraction if it is in your head or alone or too solitary and away from a community and away from people. So he helped organize people into that balance, that moderation. What does it look like to pray, to work, to recreate together? What does the Christian life look like in its essence?
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. Yesterday, we talked a little bit on this show about politics and how the Catholic view of politics is different from the Protestant view of politics. And it strikes me that today, and we're not trying to make fissures between ourselves and our brothers and sisters, just to point out differences. And one difference is this: the Catholic view of the spiritual life has always been and is ceaselessly this communal view that you're sharing. And it's harder to find, I think, in an individualist society like here in Protestant United States.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was just talking about the idea of the universal destination of goods with a friend of mine, that this the Catholic worldview of that things have... They belong to this to shared humanity. Now that everyone can start to freak out. Oh no, socialism, communism, but it's not quite that. It's Acts 2:42, right? What did the early church do? They broke bread together. They prayed. They celebrated the Eucharist, and they shared things in common. They had this idea that in fact, the created world creation, there was a shared responsibility, and that each person didn't take more or less than they needed. And there was this way in which we looked after each other and the way in which the community, the communal life is how Christ shows up in your life. As Pope Benedict said, and he chose the name Benedict for a reason. He had several reasons, but one of them is of course to renew civilization, Pope Benedict. But he said, no one lives alone, no one sins alone, and no one's saved alone.
Oh, that's so beautiful. 888-318-7884. There is this kind of, from the Protestant American way, you get the secular American way, maybe the eat, pray, love way. Off I go on my own in search of spiritual enlightenment. And even I don't even buy a ticket for to have a person next to me in the plane. I just get on the plane and I go and I search and I seek and I find. This kind of wandering pursuit of some kind of enlightenment or satisfaction it ain't going to work. Why ain't it going to work?
Yeah, because we're social animals. If we're made in God's image and likeness, right, for his children, and God, who is reality itself, existence itself, is a community of persons.
Oh, yeah.
And we're made after his image, then our, you know, and this is the most, as I've been told by George Weigel, the most quoted line of John Paul II was that man sincerely, this is from Gaudium et Spes, Vatican II document, that man sincerely finds himself in a gift of self. Man finds himself in a sincere self. So in fact, it is the gift of self to the other in which you truly, truly find yourself, not when you're doing your eat, pray, love trip to India.
Yeah. You know? Well, George Weigel would know because he's quoted Pope John Paul more than any other living person. So you can trust George Weigel on that one.
Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, Simone. I just think that's... And that's why, you know, Weigel is such a great biographer of the Pope, picking out these things like that. That really gets right to the heart of the Christian message for the modern person, the modern lonely person, the modern wandering person. That breaks, it cuts right through to the need of that person.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was just cracking up at the fact that when John Paul II was quoting Gaudium et Spes, he was quoting a document that he helped write during Vatican II.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. And when George Weigel is quoting a statistic about Pope John Paul II, he's quoting a statistic he probably helped create by repeating that same phrase 1,000 times. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I asked a very aged abbot out here in California one time, a Benedictine abbot. I said, what's the hardest part about community? Dude didn't even let me finish the question before he said, the community.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this is why we leave marriages. This is why we leave families. This is why we get up and leave the monastery. It's hard to have roots and be connected. It gets tiring and it's a drudgery.
Absolutely. It is. And that is why vows are so important. This is why our sacramental system is covenantal, because you're not just making a business deal. You're saying that we're exchanging persons, the way that God completely gratuitously has given himself to us. Now we're saying, okay, I'll give myself back to you. And we make vows, we make promises. And the neat thing about the Benedictines is that it's not actually, belonging to an order, like the Benedictine order. You actually make vows and belong to a particular community.
And what does that do for me? What does that do for my spiritual life? I am involved in a relationship that will go till my death. So is a monk who's in the abbey. Why is that important for my spiritual growth?
Because we all want to run away. We want to run away when things get difficult, right? Vagrius, oh, here, I brought it in here. The Egyptian Desert Father.
Oh, here we go, good.
Here we go. He says that one of the spiritual attacks of the demons, in terms of the vice of acedia, is that it makes a person say, if only I wasn't here in my circumstances, if only I were a part of a different religious community. Mm-hmm. And these are, he says, demonic attacks. Because
boy, yes.
to want to run away from the circumstances in which you've been given is demonic.
Yeah, and that's what we do in marriages. We probably, children do it with their parents. If only I had good parents. Or not these parents, this making me sweep when I want to pray. 888-318-7884 is the number. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We've got a lot of calls. There's a couple lines open if you'd like to get in on the conversation about why you need community for your spiritual growth. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Simone Riscala, and you are welcome to call to get in on the conversation about why we need community. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Before I go to the calls for Simone and get some, she has some interesting statistics for us as well. Today's it. Today's the last day to get the $300 off if you sign up for the Rome pilgrimage. Rome, the heart of Christianity. I know that Simone thinks it's Alexandria, but Rome, the, part of Christianity. Come with us in November. We're going November 9th through the 18th. It's $300 off to anybody who signs up by the close of business today. Oh, no, not by the close. By midnight Hawaii time. That's how we do it. We always do it by midnight Hawaii time. So at midnight in Honolulu, this deal goes away. I'm going to be honest with you. I bet we're going to extend it to the end of the week. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I just have a feeling because there's like we just a few that we got to get done, and I have a feeling we will. But anyway, give it a – if you want to find out about the pilgrimage, go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com, CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. Chris Check's going. I'm going. Joe Heschmeyer's going. It's the flannel panel, Pilgrimage to Rome, November 9th through the 18th, CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. Simone Riscala from Endow Groups, will you give us some statistics on the impact of this Benedictine movement?
Yeah, I love this. So at the height of the Benedictine order in Europe, the Benedictine order had supplied the church with 24 popes, 200 cardinals, 7,000 archbishops, 15,000 bishops, 1,500 canonized saints, and at its height, 37,000 monasteries in Europe. And there were 20 emperors, 10 empresses, 47 kings, and 50 queens that left their kingdoms and went to go become monks and nuns.
That is an extraordinary record over the, what's that, like the first 8 or 9 centuries of the monastic movement, yeah, that Benedict was, yeah, the kind of, was the, I mean, in a certain sense, the father of. I mean, no one is the father of monasticism. It, you know, there, you keep going backwards and backwards, and you're going to find those who have withdrawn from the world to approach God and detached from the world to be attached to God. But the, as you said, the father of Western monasticism because of the writing of his rule. And I would like to just point out again what you said before about that without the monks and the men and women religious of the monasteries of Europe, there is no Europe. They are the ones who made Europe, Europe. They literally, you know, cleared the land so there could be farms. Where there were poor people, the middle-class towns grew up around them. Where there were uneducated masses, educated nations grew up around them. This is what made the modern world possible, is that for century after century, men and women, they followed Jesus in a life of virginity and a life of self-giving, and they made the world that made the world you live in. 888-318-7884, the number. You want to take calls, or you want to tell me more about living in about the importance of community?
Well, I mean, I think we're ready to take calls, but just that, yeah, the founder of Christian monasticism is Saint Anthony of Egypt,
and oh, then Lord.
Is
oh.
I'm going to have to put it in there, and then church history teacher, but Benedict's contribution. I mean, you mentioned clearing the land, Si.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from agriculture to like taking in barbarians and the monasteries. I mean, monasteries were the first colleges, agricultural, yeah, colleges,
right,
the brewing of beer. I mean, every time I drink a beer, I'm thinking about a monk, you know. I mean, monks invented beer, champagne, you know. I mean, things that you could say are silly, but in terms of like culture,
right,
clocks, primitive aviation, all these things.
Metallurgy. Oh, we said metallurgy at the same time.
Jinx.
That was weird. Yeah, but
we didn't even plan that.
I thought you were going to miss out on the metallurgy, because metal science this is the monk science. They're the ones who invented modern metallurgy.
Yep. I'm impressed you know that. Not that I didn't think you would know that.
It's just weird that we both said it at the same time. That was weird. Because it's an obscure, weird little thing to say. 888-318-7884. We're on this feast of St. Benedict. We're talking a bit about the Benedictine monasteries, the contributions of the monks and nuns of the Benedictine movement and of the monastic movement more generally, but also about why you need community. Why do you need community in order to grow spiritually? You do. Jesus surrounded himself with the community, and he didn't run away from them. He insisted that they love one another as he had loved them. And that's what we do as Christians. And you better do it or you ain't going to grow spiritually. Let's go to Jamie in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Catholic Radio there in St. Louis. Jamie, go ahead with your question for Simone.
Yeah, hey, Simone. Appreciate you taking my phone call. So I've been working with youth now for like 15 years, and kind of more specifically in the confirmation realm here in the last 7 or 8. Love it. But the kids, you know, it's all about them at this stage of their life, I think. And so I'm just kind of wanting to pick your brain a little bit on practical, useful, relevant ideas for the kids to start thinking more along the lines of community and not so much themselves.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for your work for the youth and for confirmation. That's not easy at all in this culture. I really like the model that John Paul II's youth minister, Jan Tiernowski. I don't know if you know much about him and his life, but for all his life, John Paul II had a picture of his youth minister on his desk, the venerable Jan Tiernowski. And what he did for his youth ministry in Poland was very, very simple. He called it the Living Rosary Group. And he divided the boys into groups centered around the mysteries of the rosary. So 10 to 15 kids in the sorrowful mysteries, 10 to 15 boys in the glorious, 10 to 15 in the joyful mysteries. And what Jan Tiernowski did was he would mentor what we would call like a core group. So he would mentor one-on-one members of the core group. That core group would then go and mentor the boys in the other living group. And then they would all be together once a month. But then anybody in his youth group had access to him if they wanted one-on-one mentorship. Again, I'm not saying this is the model that you must do, of course not. But the idea that Christianity and building community takes a discipleship model, I think that's very important. What the boys in that core group, the core team who led the other boys in the Living Rosary group, those guys became priests. Now, there's a lot of pressure. It's Nazi Poland, right? And Jan Tiernowski became a youth minister because the priests asked him to take over catechizing the youth because priests were being sent to concentration camps and being executed. So there was this fear that there were going to be no priests at all, sacraments or any kind of spiritual leadership. So the laity had to step in, just like the lady, you have to step in now. So that idea of you forming, just like Jesus had his 2 to 3, you know, his Peter, James, and John, identify who your Peter, James, and Johns are, give them extra time, and then teach them how to then go out and mentor the other kids. I think this is a way in which when they have that sense of responsibility, they suddenly see, oh, I'm not just receiving all the time from this guy who's giving me all this information about the faith, but I am a leader, even if I don't always feel equipped. God always equip, you know, that famous phrase I think is so true. He doesn't call the equipped. He calls and then equips. He equips the called.
Jamie, what do you think?
No, I think it's wonderful. We kind of do a model similar to that. We offer the kids opportunities to come back and evangelize to their peers. And one of the things, and we do it during adoration too. They get to get up and tell their personal witness story. So, I certainly appreciate this, Simone. It's beautiful stuff. And I got to tell you, it worked and it's effective. And I appreciate that. I'm going to podcast this later so I can listen to what you said. So thank you so much for all you do. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie, for your great work. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I've always found here at Catholic Answers, Simone, and maybe you find this at endow groups, I don't know, or in other communities that you're a part of, but it's been very striking here at Catholic Answers how community also functions to keep us on track. Like sometimes, you know, one of us will get an idea that, you know, this needs to be said, or, you know, and it's actually more of a temptation than an insight. But when you're on your own, you have trouble figuring out which one is a temptation and which one is an insight. And I feel like the community here, in a very, very practical way, keeps us from kind of spinning out on our own, kind of becoming so innovative that we're not Catholic anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so. I mean, I think we get weird without each other.
Amen. That's it. We get weird without each other. As a matter of fact, it's something Father Hugh used to tell us all the time when he was our chaplain. Devil wants you to be weird.
I know, and the world already thinks Christians are weird. So, yeah. Like, we've got to get, we need help.
We need help, right. But you get it in community. There's a kind of way in which people can go, really? Like, okay, so you're angry about something that some cardinal said or some pope did or whatever, mm-hmm. or you're frustrated, and you get an idea that this is what needs to happen, and the community can go, all right, is that what needs to happen, or are you just having a bad day? 888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about community and your spiritual growth, why you need community to grow spiritually. 888-318-7884.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God, and it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
What's the quirkiest product you know of?
Did you buy it?
We'd love for you to chime in tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest, and we are always delighted when she is here, is Simone Riscala. She's going to mention it every 5 minutes, so I'll tell you, she's Egyptian. she's the director of program growth at Endow Groups, and we're, as I said, we're just always delighted when she's here. And we're talking a little bit, you wrote about this, you've written about the necessity of community for spiritual growth. Who's provided that community for you, Simone? Because you do come across as a spiritually balanced person to me. You say enough things that I go, oh yeah, she's on target.
She's not so bad. Yeah,
no, I didn't say that.
No, I mean community is why I'm a Christian. I think I've told you before. I mean, I did have an intellectual. Yeah. I always got the Jesus thing, right? I was like, he's God. I get it.
Yeah.
I didn't have that struggle. Never had the atheist thing. None of that seemed reasonable. But I mean, who cares about an intellectual conversion if you don't have... Right. The Christian life is a life meant to be shared. And that was real, very real for me. And I prayed and I said, look, God, like, I get it. Church, this is your thing. This is the church's the
church
message.
Is your thing.
Like, this is your thing. Well, it is. I mean, if God comes, like Benedict says, if God comes to men through other men, the church is the method by which he mitigates that. Right.
Yeah, right.
And I get it. This is how you commune with us, is through the community of the church, through the church. But like, it's not just like church is abstract unless it's this person or that person. Right. And that's what saved me. That's why I'm a Christian today, because I met and I think everybody, you could do a little self-reflection, like an examination of, not even an examination of conscience, just an examination of conversion. Who are those particular people? Can you picture their faces? Do you know their names? Because Jesus had a face and a name, was from a particular town, was from Nazareth, right? In this yes. time, in this place. We should be able to name those people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, our faith is ideological and political.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. That's a wonderful point. 888-318-7884, the number. 888-31-TRUTH. There's a ton of people on the line. I'm going back to the lines, but I don't want to miss on this anniversary, on this feast day of St. Benedict, that when I was young, in studying theology, like a minute after the Second Vatican Council ended, you know, the 70s had just brought everything to a fever pitch. And there was this idea around that, you know, in the Middle Ages, the monasteries had been the way that the church transform the world, and in the modern world, we needed to come up with new forms of community. And I really internalized that, until one day I realized, no, we don't. Like, what we need is more people to go back to the monasteries. Like, when the monasteries are full and overflowing again, Christianity will be healthy again. Like, we don't need to reinvent that wheel. And that there's many, many people today who don't know it, but they would find the joy that Christ is calling to them in the monastery if they would consider it. Young people should consider monastic life.
Why would they consider it, though, if we don't even, as church, know how to pray? Right? Like, it seems completely unrelatable. But if you can hear the voice of God in prayer, that's just a normative Christian experience for you, then all of a sudden monastic life can seem attractive and should be attractive in some sense to every Christian. But if we can't even pray or hear God's voice, if we're not in a relationship with God where walking with him day by day is fascinating and interesting, why would monastic life be interesting?
Boy, that took a turn I wasn't expecting. So how do we get that then?
It went dark. I went dark.
I went really dark all of a sudden. But then how do we? Because what I hear when you're saying that is that, I mean, we have tried to kill liturgy as something that actually grabs people with its beauty and sucks the air out of your lungs because it's so prayerful and wonderful and related to God, not just related to the community looking around at each other. So I can see that, all right, maybe we get to where Simone is talking about by, you know, revitalizing liturgy. But is that what you're talking about, or what are you talking about?
I mean, definitely we need to revitalize liturgy. The liturgy should be our encounters with sublime beauty, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, Cy, when I was in graduate school, I was literally reading the catechism back to back. I mean, I was like paragraph by paragraph. And these two Salvation Army guys were at Starbucks. And I said, oh, they're like, what are you reading? You know? And I was like, oh, I'm reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church. They're like, oh, let's tell you about the Salvation Army. I was like, oh, you think you're going to evangelize me? I'm going to evangelize you. So why don't you come to Mass with me? And I'm like, oh, man, 1970s. Church architecture, like, yeah. How am I supposed to evangelize these guys when, you know, bah. Yeah. And they came to Mass with me. Now, when you're going to church in a warehouse, Our 1970s churches are going to look like Notre Dame to you. And they walked in, they're like, this is like Sister Act. This was just glorious for them, you know?
This is like Sister Act.
This is like, wow. So the point being, yes, the liturgy needs to have evangelical value. And like, what's more evangelically valuable than like an encounter with beauty? So yes, I agree with you. But I wasn't actually thinking about that. I was actually thinking about literally teaching people how to pray, like how to hear God's voice. And like, when I said at my conversion, there were these people that came into my life that made me understand what the Christian thing was, right? That, what Christianity is. My shared life and friendship with you. And there's the presence of Jesus here among us that wow, that's real.
Yeah.
But as Christians, we should be able to say that today. If all of our emotional energy is like, this is bad and this is wrong and the culture's going bad and negativity and the apocalypse, and can you believe that cardinal? And can you believe this blah-de blah-de blah? Okay, sure. But gosh, what about the fact that Christianity is in its essence? Because today I can tell you the two or three or four people where Christ is present to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we haven't been trained in that, how is God communicating to me here and now through people? Then we don't know. We're not experiencing what Christianity actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, like with the monastic life, back to your point about, oh, if only our monasteries were full, like I get so cringy when I go.
Oh, but do we just cut Simone off because she got cringy? So you guys just cut her off? Oh, man. 888-318-7884 is the number. Gil and Nelson, I know you two have been waiting the longest, so I'm going to get to you right when we get back. But we'll take a quick break. We'll reconnect with Simone, who was about to tell me how cringy I am for saying that you should go check out a monastery. We'll let her say that, and then we'll go on to calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, "When we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue." Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I pray that EWTN News In Depth will help the everyday life of everyday Catholics by bringing them the news that matters to them and helping them to have the information at their fingertips for whatever it is that they need to be able to engage with the world confidently with their faith.
EWTN News In Depth with Montse Alvarado, Friday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Simone Riscala is here as our guest. We're talking about why you need community to grow spiritually. You can't do it on your own. You need community. Simone is the director of program growth for Endow Groups. You should check out everything they do at Simone, fill in blank. You should check
endowgroups.org.
At endowgroups.org. That's what I was going to say, endowgroups.org. I'm going to go to the phones and let people talk to you about community and growing in the spiritual life via community and why you need community to grow in the spiritual life. But I want you to finish telling why you find me cringy when I say that people should, that young people should consider life in the monastery.
That's not what I find cringy. I find cringy when after Mass, I'm sorry to all the priests and all the parishes in this country, but when we pray for an increase in vocations, it's like we're insulting God. Like, oh, Lord, you just haven't been calling us. No, he's calling us. He's calling, like you said, he's calling those young people into the monastic life. It's that we haven't formed their hearts and their minds and their ears to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. This is why John Paul II said our parishes should be schools of prayer, because how can we hear the vocations? It's not like God's muted himself.
No, right. That's right. So the question is, it's not whether he's broadcasting, it's whether you're a good receiver. And anybody else, or are we creating good receivers? All right, I'm going to go to the phones let you take some calls. Gil, our old friend Gil in New York City, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Thank you for the call, Gil. Go ahead with your question for Simone.
Yes. Hi, Simone. I'm also blind. I've been calling this show for years. Since the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How important is community when it comes to, like, addiction as a spiritual growth to help people grow in the midst of their addiction? Because I believe a church should be like a hospital for sick people, you know, sinners.
Oh, Gil, thanks for your call, and thanks for saying that. It absolutely should be. Absolutely. I mean, the suicide rate in California quadrupled 4 times over COVID because of the isolation. And a lot of those obviously were rooted in addiction. So the isolation increased the suicide rate because addicts in particular need their mentors, their sponsors, their community groups, AA, all that kind of stuff. So I think you're totally right. There's this parish in Santa Clarita that has Alcoholics Anonymous on the parish, pornography addicts. I mean, there's so many very practical groups, community groups that are dealing with people's addictions. And I it's like every parish should have that. So I totally agree with you, Gil. Thank you so much for that.
Gil, thank you. It's always a great pleasure when you call, and I hope you'll keep calling. Let's see. I've made everybody wait, so I feel anxious to get to people. Up next, we're talking about community and why you need it in your spiritual growth. Up next, we go to Fort Worth, Texas, where Nelson is listening on 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Nelson, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Simone.
Yes, I'm going to just ask a question and then hang up to hear you on the air.
Okay, okay.
The guilds, the craftsmen, are they a result of monasteries that created the crafts, like glass blowers for stained glass windows, and the cathedrals for masons, all these different crafts, are they a result of monasteries that created the guilds? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much, Nelson.
Yeah, I don't know about glass blowers. I wouldn't be surprised. But there's a great book by Thomas Woods called How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization, where you can read about all of these artistic, creative craftsmanship, the guilds, the agricultural colleges, Cy's favorite, metallurgy, aircraft, champagne, beer, cheese making in Parma, also from the monks. So I don't know that I can address your question very specifically, but I can certainly say that yes. And this is the connection that people need to understand, is that it wasn't that these men went out into these monastic communities in order to be creative and to be productive and to be inventive. They went into these monasteries to hear the voice of God. In so doing, when you are in that mode of prayer, communing with the Creator, you will then be creative like Him. And so all the silence, the prayer, the solitude was this just rich, unbelievably rich breeding ground for what became Europe.
Nelson, what a great question. Would you mind if I just ventured a little bit of an addition to that, Simone?
Please.
Because I love the story of the monks. And if you just think of Germany before the monks come, it's basically a tribal society. And Germany, once the monks have done their work, it's a society of towns and guilds. And one of the great things, and Adam Smith did not understand this, and Karl Marx did not understand this, and most modern economists don't understand this, guilds were spiritual societies. Guilds did not exist merely because they needed to economically control the production of, say, stained glass or something like that. These were societies where that were intended for the spiritual life of those who were members of them. And modern people scoff at that, and because they don't understand that the fact that the Christian faith actually mattered to virtually every living person in Germany or the other parts of Europe that the monks settled. And that the so I don't know that the monasteries directly were responsible for the creation of the guilds, but the monasteries were directly responsible for a society in which people wanted to share spiritual associations. And a guild, anybody tells you a guild is an economic organization does not understand a guild. It's like saying that the Crusades were a war for territory. No, the Crusades were armed pilgrimages. If you don't understand that, you don't understand medieval people. The guilds were not just economic societies. They were spiritual associations. And all of this is connected to what the monks brought to Europe. Let's go to Kevin in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on the EWTN app. Kevin, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Simone.
Hey, thank you for allowing me to call and ask my question. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're so happy you're here, Kevin. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I know this this show is about community, and I think my question could tie into community. But just really long and short, I'm born and raised in a Protestant household. But for the past probably 3 years or so, I have been really drawn to the Catholic faith. And to be totally honest with you, it really goes against just about everything that I've been taught in my life. And I can't really understand it, but I'm seeking the truth. So my question is, why should I become Catholic?
Oh, gosh, so much pressure, Kevin.
I know you call like a show called Catholic Answers for an answer to that question. We better, if we can't get this one right, Kevin, we are just not worth it. Yeah.
I know exactly. Well, I mean, gosh, there's a million different ways to answer this, but I'll tell you this. When I was having my reversion to the Catholic faith, I did not want to be Catholic. Okay. I kid you not. I was like, I'm going Greek Orthodox or I'm going Baptist. I mean, fundamentalist Baptist. When I was not going to be as Catholic, I was so over it. I was so over it. And then I started reading books and history, and I couldn't escape, like Newman says, you know, to study history is to cease being Protestant, great Protestant convert. So I just encourage you, I mean, you check out the Catholic Answers Library, keep reading on the radio, but why would you deprive yourself of receiving the Eucharist is like the thing, you know? There's like a million different reasons to be like annoyed and mad at the Catholic Church right now, but like, as Flannery O'Connor says, you know, you have to suffer as much from the church as for her, but somehow this is the body of Christ, and on the body of Christ we are fed. So come on in. Come on in, Kevin. We welcome you.
As, you know, what Simone said, especially about the Eucharist, is any of this what attracts you to the Catholic Church currently, Kevin?
To be honest with you, just really simply put, the Protestant faiths or denominations, everyone is so divided. And what really draws me to the Catholic Church is the unity of the church. This is what we believe. This is how we've believed it forever. That really brings peace to me, to be honest with you, because I am a student of the Bible. I've been to Bible college and everything. I'm constantly reading and studying. And that is what is drawing me to the Catholic Church in a nutshell. It's just like y'all seem very united.
You know, Kevin, that's going to come as and I know this is not your intention, but many Catholics are going to be soothed by your words because we feel so divided right now. I mean, just like everything, inside the church, there's a kind of sense of, you know, we're fighting over the mass and we're fighting over morals and we're fighting over. But the thing that I think you have hit on is that even amidst all that fighting, because that's what we fight, because we're human, but we're united because the church itself is divine. It has nothing to do with our virtue or anything like that. But the church is united around the Eucharistic Christ and around his teaching. And somehow by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it stays united. And it's wonderful to be reminded that that's an important thing, and that's something that we share with, you know, that we can share with others and is inviting to others. Because I think many of us feel hurt and divided right now in the church, you know, ever since all the scandals and everything of the last 25 years or so. Kevin, I want to second what Simone said. Receive Christ in the Eucharist. That's, to me, the center of life and the center of the Christian faith. He offered himself to us, body and blood, soul and divinity, and he doesn't want us to have anything less. He offered himself to us in his word, in his church, in his people, in the world, in the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. But most directly, he offered himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And that's the center of life. And that's why I think you should be Catholic. So I wanted to second what Simone said. Is there anything else that we can offer? I mean, I'd be happy to send you some books if you'd like.
Yes. First, let me say I really do appreciate your comments there. Sometimes I've got a lot of knowledge in my head.
Yeah.
And sometimes it wars against, there's a battlefield mm-hmm. in the minds, you know.
Yeah.
One person says this, one person says that, and they all seem to take it from the Bible. And my true intent is to find the path that God wants me to be on. So I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And if you would like to send books, I'd more than happily take some.
Well, how about we send them Why We're Catholic and The Words of Eternal Life? We'll send those two. And then I'll tell you what, Kevin, if you get through those, or if you start them and you don't like them and you want to just call during the show, you don't have to like our books. We'll send you whatever you like, this is a conversation that is precious to us. And I'm just so delighted that you called. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Can I say one more thing about that?
Yeah, go ahead, Simone.
I just like to say, I definitely relate to when I was on my Protestant trek, visiting every single Protestant denomination and trying to figure this Christianity thing out. And I got to that point that, Kevin, I was like, wait a minute, how is it possible that there are over 33,000 different denominations, and how can the Holy Spirit inspire all this contrary interpretations of the scripture? And it was just, I was just getting crazy. And I thought, well, this can't possibly be like God's plan. Like, there, if God founded the church, he must have protected it from teaching error and must have protected it, because the hard part should be just like living the demands of the gospel, not me becoming like, you know, a theologian and trying to figure it out. So I think when you said that just gives you a lot of peace, the unity, I had that experience from like, this just doesn't make sense. Like, this is like, God's not gaslighting us with theology and truth.
All right, Kevin.
Hello.
Yep.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, we can hear you now. Yeah.
So I just said, amen. I agree with that very much, and I appreciate it.
Oh, Kevin, what a great privilege to get to talk with you. I do hope you'll talk again. Don't hang up now. Just hang up, because I'm going to put you on hold, and that's going to get you to Siobhan, who's going to get your information. And she's the executive assistant to the head of the whole thing here, so she's super smart. She'll get all the numbers and letters right in your address, I'm pretty sure. You will, right, Siobhan? All right, yeah, she's doing her best. By the way, Simone, Siobhan is doing that job because Edgar is away. Do you know where Edgar is, Siobhan? I mean, Simone?
Where is he?
He's on his honeymoon. He got married last Thursday. Yes,
no.
That's right. Another Catholic Answers marriage. People come here and they get married. And then,
that's awesome.
And then I was going to say, and then they leave, but they don't. They just, how long have you been here, Darren? You've been 17 years?
Where is he on his honeymoon?
18 years? I can't tell you where. That's top secret information. I can't say on the radio when people are. I can tell you I can tell you the hemisphere. It's this hemisphere. I can tell you it's North America and it's not Canada or the United States. All right. And they speak Spanish in this country. And they have beautiful beaches and pyramids. But I can't share any more than that, Simone. CulturalGypsy.com, you can find out about Simone. There's a really cool little video that they did on her in the L.A. Archdiocese. That's who did it, right? The L.A. Archdiocese? Yeah. You should check it out at CulturalGypsy.com. Simone, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Si. My pleasure.
You're one of those sane people. I like talking to you, Simone. You're one of those sane people. So you make me cringe with your weird talk. All right. Well, coming up, Carlo. Oh, I'm so happy we're going to get to see Carlo again. I haven't seen Carlo in a long time. Carlo's back. We'll do open forum next hour. Stay on the line. 888-318-7884.